Good to see everybody this morning. And just as a brief announcement, today is a really big day in the life of our church. It's not our church's birthday. It's not LifePoint Westerville's birthday. But today is Ed's birthday, and he's the lead pastor here. So, yeah. He just turned the big 8-4, so if you get the chance, just go ahead and congratulate him on that. It's 8-4 or 4-8, I can't remember. But want to thank you guys for taking time to join us this morning on your July 4th weekend. And can we just go ahead and acknowledge that Wednesday is the worst day to have a national holiday? Typically, if it's on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, you might get an extended weekend, right? But Wednesday, you just don't get that. And so I feel your pain. But thank you for making your normal size weekend and making us a part of it. Also, if you get the chance today, thank a veteran, somebody who fought for our country so that we as citizens of this country can enjoy the freedoms that we have. It's on their shoulders that we stand. And as you do that, for those of you who are followers of Christ, be reminded that because the one gave his life, gave his blood for us, we as citizens, not of an earthly nation, but citizens of a heavenly city, can enjoy the ultimate freedom from sin and death and God's wrath. And so we are grateful not only for our veterans, but we're reminded even today as we celebrate our veterans and we celebrate the rights that we have as citizens of this country of Jesus Christ, who is ultimately the one who gave the ultimate price. And so I am Rob Kane, as Ed said. I am the Connections Director here at LifePoint Westerville, and I am fortunate enough to be married to my beautiful wife, Danielle. And we just had our first child 4 months ago. Her name's Finley. You can clap for that. Yeah. Very exciting stuff. And so as a father, going through the first 4th of July festivities with Finley, she's not going to remember any of it, so I'm not putting ton of effort into making sure it's a memorable thing. But I look back on the 4th of July that I've been able to experience, most of which were me in a baseball uniform watching fireworks because I played baseball every summer, and just that was my life growing up. And so my family, we'd go to a baseball game, and we'd afterwards open up the lawn chairs and watch fireworks from the outfield. And so that was always a really fun thing. But those are incredible memories for me. And so my hope is that Finley, she would be able to experience some of those wonderful things as well. Because as a father, I want her to enjoy this life to the fullest extent. And as a good father, I believe God also wants us to enjoy the life that he's given us to the fullest extent that he's designed for us to enjoy it. And so the question that we ask ourselves this morning is, what does it look like to enjoy this life to the extent that God has designed for us to enjoy it? Because we could ask culture, right? We could ask culture and they would give us an answer today, but the answer tomorrow would probably be different. And so we go back to the one who is our rock, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the one who doesn't change, the one who has engineered and designed this life. And we ask him, what does it look like to live this life to the fullest extent that you have designed us for? And I think the passage that we're in today is going to address that head on. We've been marching through a series called I Am, and that series, as great as it is, I'm not going to get too deep into it because today we're taking a break. We're not doing the I Am series. Today is a standalone message, so we're not going to be in the Gospel of John. We're going to actually be in 1 John, and the passage that we're looking at is going to show us what it looks like to walk with God, because I would submit to you that to enjoy life to the fullest capacity that God has designed for us to enjoy it, he has rigged it in such a way that to enjoy it to the full is to walk with him. And so we're going to look at what it looks like today to walk with God, because it's easy to just say, walk with God, right? And not put any flesh to those bones. But the passage that we're looking at today is going to give us some guidance as to what that really looks like. And then as we do that, I think we're going to be able to see, one, we're going to be able to diagnose our own spiritual health, because if this passage shows us what it looks like to walk with God, then we're able to see, hey, maybe I'm there, maybe I'm not. Then we're also going to be able to see some of the things that may be keeping us from an intimate relationship with the Lord, from walking with the Lord. And then based off those things, Lord willing, we'll be equipped to share that with others. Because ultimately, we want to share the good news with other people. We want to invite other people into the relationship that we have with the Lord because we're disciples of Christ, wanting to, Lord willing, create disciples who then make disciples who make disciples. And so the passage that we're in today is 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And just before we jump in, there's going to be some context I'm going to give you. So John is writing to a group of believers who have just recently experienced some false teaching. And so one group came through and said, hey, Jesus is 100% God, but he's not man. And then the other group came through and said, no, they got it wrong. Jesus is 100% man, but he's not God. And that would be like modern day Jehovah's Witnesses. And so John is now writing to this group of believers, and he's saying, they're both wrong. Jesus is 100% God, and he's 100% man, both. And as he describes who Jesus is, he then sets himself up to springboard into this passage, because if you get Jesus wrong, then you get Christianity wrong, right? And so he lays the foundation for who Jesus is, and then he says, and this is what it looks like to walk with God. And so I'm going to read this passage, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dive right in. So it's in 1 John, and if you're not familiar, 1 John is towards the end of the Bible. So you'll see 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, and then 2 John, 3 John. So 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, we ask for your help this morning as we look into your word. We acknowledge that your word is the primary means by which you speak to us. And as we open it up and we spend time looking at it, we ask that you would clearly show us what it means to walk with you, because we know that is where the fullness of life is found. Soften our hearts to receive your word. Lord, help us to rightly apply it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I want us to see in this passage is that God's people walk in holiness. God's people walk in holiness. So to walk with God is to walk in holiness. And so that word holiness can be like an easy word for us in the church to just kind of throw around without really putting a definition to it. And so holiness, just simply put, is God's moral perfection. God's moral perfection. And so he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which means his moral perfection has been the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So he didn't sin yesterday. He's not sinning today, and he will never sin tomorrow. His perfection remains the same. Look, I really enjoy playing golf, okay? Any of you out there who enjoy playing golf, hats off to you. It's a really tough game. I'm terrible at it, okay? A good score in golf would be around a 72. Okay, there's 18 holes in a golf course. If it takes about 72 shots for you to get through that golf course, then you're pretty good. Okay, the best I've ever done is 88. Okay, typically I'm around like 100, 110. I'm just bad. There was a time when I actually went out golfing, and I decided to play just half a round, 9 holes, and I got to hole 6, and had to walk off the course. Why? Was I frustrated? No. I just ran out of golf balls because I hit them all out of bounds. Like, I'm not very good at golf. But the world record, so the greatest professional round of golf ever played was done in May 2012 by a guy by the name of Rain Gibson, an Australian professional golfer, and he shot a 55. Like, that's good, right? Now, for those of you who are familiar with golf, or even putt-putt for that matter, a hole-in-one is like an incredible thing. Right? And so I obviously, big shocker, I've never had a hole-in-one, okay? I know some people who have. They're very impressive to me, but some even professional golfers will go their entire career playing golf and they'll never get a hole-in-one. It's that difficult. And a hole-in-one, essentially, for that hole, is the perfect shot. So if it only takes you one shot to get it in the hole and move on to the next one, then that was a perfect shot, right? So if there's 18 holes in a golf course and a perfect shot is a hole in one, then the perfect round would be 18, right? It means every hole you hit the perfect shot, so therefore the whole round is perfect. You walk away with the score of 18. Never been done, okay? The best that we've ever recorded is 55. And I would submit to you that the difference between 18 and 55 pales in comparison to the difference between God's standard of holiness and the best that we can offer up. And so God is morally perfect. His standard of 18 is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and it won't change. But here's the issue, here's the problem, is that we are not holy. So R.C. Sproul puts it in his book, The Holiness of God, like this. He says, the human dilemma is this: God is holy and we are not. God is righteous and we are not. Now, why is that a dilemma? Well, it's a dilemma because in Psalm 5:4, we read that sin cannot dwell with God, and we, spoiler alert, we're sinful. And so we can just play that game of going through the Ten Commandments and just kind of knock off the ones that we've failed at, which is all of them, but like going through the first one, have no other gods before me, I wrestle with that every day. Like, does anybody else struggle with the fact that they may value something else more than God throughout the course of the day? I do that every day. But maybe say, well, I haven't broken the sixth one. Like, I'm not a murderer. And then Jesus says, well, actually, if you've ever had any hatred in your heart towards somebody else, then you've already committed murder. Well, maybe you'd say, well, I've never committed adultery, never broken the seventh commandment. And I would imagine in a room this size, not everybody would be able to say that. But so maybe I could take the moral high ground there, right? Never committed adultery. But then Jesus says, actually, if you've ever lusted after someone who's not your spouse, then you've already committed adultery. And so here's my predicament. I'm an idolatrous, murdering adulterer. Feeling pretty good about myself today. But like, we could look at the ninth commandment, like, don't lie. And I think everyone would agree that we've all broken that one. If you say you haven't, then there you go, you just broke it. But like, even our four-month-old, Finn, 3 months ago, or at 3 months, she started to lie to us. Like, no words, okay? No words need to be said. But like the first few months, whenever she would cry, it was either because she had to get up, because she needed to change diaper, or because she was hungry. Now, starting about a month ago, she's just started to cry, right? And so she knows that mom or dad are going to be rushing in there. So we go up there, and as soon as she locks eyes with us, man, she just smiles. She's just thrilled that we're in there. We check her. She doesn't need a diaper change. She won't take a bottle. Like, she just wanted our attention. And so we're dealing with a four-month liar, so you can pray for us in that retrospect. But yeah, and so here we are. We are called to holiness, right? God's holy. But the problem is that we're not holy, right? That doesn't let us off the hook. Like, God still calls his people into that. He says in 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And so holiness and light being synonymous here. God calls us to the light. He calls us to holiness. But here's what tends to be our response. We read in John 3:19, the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. We're called to holiness. We're called to the light. But because of our fallen nature, we tend to go towards darkness. And so because we tend to go towards darkness, we have to combat sin. And so not only do God's people walk in holiness, but God's people also fight sin. And so look, to walk with God is to fight sin. To walk in the light is to be at war with sin, to be at war with darkness. And we naturally, like I said, we naturally walk in darkness. And don't be thrown by that term, walk in darkness. That essentially just means to walk in sin, sin being what God calls evil. And because sin is part of our nature, that is the way that we are most prone to go. So my mom used to take us to Mohican, okay? As kids, she'd pack us up in the car, and we'd go over to Mohican River. We'd hop in a canoe, and we'd have a blast going downstream in these canoes, right? Had a great time passing older folks, felt like a real stud, just flying past them. Didn't take a lot of effort because we're going downstream, but then we'd have to turn around and go upstream. And Upstream is the worst because I would try twice as hard and we'd only go half as fast. And because we are naturally prone towards darkness, darkness and sin is downstream. Like that's the way that we naturally go. And so John addresses this because in verse 5 he says, in God there's absolutely no darkness. And so if there's absolutely no darkness in God, but we're naturally sinful and we're naturally in darkness, that poses a problem. So John lists in three sections here, in verse 6, in verse 8, and in verse 10. He addresses three areas where we all naturally tend to walk in darkness. This isn't just some of us, we all are prone towards these things. And so in verse 6, we see the person who is actively pursuing sin. Verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So this circumstance where some of us in the room may be is where we recognize that God has called something sinful, that he has a stamp of disapproval on it. But we have said, you know what? Although God calls us sinful, I recognize that, but I'm going to embrace it anyway. I'm going to actively walk in darkness. And the response to that would be to confess that is the way that leads to death, and to confess that and turn to God. And so that's the way of walking in darkness, but to walk in light, we confess that we don't want to embrace the sin. In fact, we want to fight against it. But then we read in verse 8 of the person who ignores present sin. So look at me in verse 8 where it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So maybe you can relate with me. But as I've grown in my relationship with the Lord, as I've grown closer to him, and he's shown me more and more of who he is by me digging into the scriptures, I've then been able to see that God is this holy, righteous, just God, just like the scriptures say. But then I look back on my own self, and I think, I am not. And so as I have grown in my understanding of who God is, I've also grown in my understanding of my own wickedness. Like outwardly, I can play the Christian game all day. I can run with anybody and act all goody, whatever you want to, however you want to describe that. But here's the thing, God looks at my heart. And as I've grown in my relationship with him, I've recognized a lot of things in my heart that I didn't previously see. And so to ignore that there is present sin, to ignore the fact that you do still wrestle with sin, would be to walk in darkness. And so let's confess together as the people of God, yes, I am still wrestling with this. And it's okay to wrestle with sin, guys. It's not okay to embrace it. And so in order to walk in light of ignoring present sin, we then confess that sin and we confess that we do wrestle with it. Look, if someone was robbing us and Danielle woke me up and said, hey, I think somebody's taking all of our stuff. Like the only way I'd be able to stop them is if I confronted them. And in the same way, the only way that we can avoid being robbed of the riches of a deep and intimate relationship with God is if we confront sin. So let's do that together. And then the third way here in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And so the third way of walking in darkness is to deny the reality of any sin in your life at all. So when I was a freshman in college, I played baseball, and me and my roommate, we were growing in our faith, and we decided that we were going to try and really share our faith with one of our buddies. And so we were at a hotel for a baseball trip, and we're sitting there chatting with him, and things are getting pretty deep, and we start to share with him the gospel that, hey, man, although you're separated from God because of your sin, Jesus died on the cross so that all of your sin could be washed away. If you would just embrace that and repent from your sin and embrace him as Lord and as Savior, you can have fellowship with God. And he began to sound interested. And so he said, hey, do you want to take your first steps in becoming a Christian? And he said, oh, no. I think all that sounds good, but I don't think I've ever sinned. And so we had to try to go a little bit deeper. And he said, hey, have you ever looked at a girl in a way that you shouldn't have? Or have you ever said something to somebody that maybe came across a little too strong because you were angry with them? And he said, well, yeah, but I don't think God's upset with that. So he was denying the reality of any sin in his life. And honestly, like we look at that and we shake our heads and say, oh yeah, that's really sad. But honestly, we've all been there, right? We've all had things in our lives where we just decide, you know what, I'm not going to address that. I don't think that that needs to be addressed. And we kind of put it off. So the response to that would be to confess that it is sinful and confess our need for forgiveness. My buddy just denied that he even needed forgiveness. But let's be reminded that we are constantly in need of a Savior. And so because we are prone to darkness, we must combat sin. And the way that we do that is by confessing, one, our need to turn from sin. We confess that we still wrestle with sin, and we confess our need for forgiveness. In verse 9, we see that we combat sin by confessing sin. We combat sin by confessing sin. Look in verse 9 with me. We read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look, I love that. He is faithful and just. Look, someone's not described as faithful unless you can depend on him. And I've been trying to hammer home throughout this message that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so if it says here that his response to confession of sin is forgiveness, then be encouraged that, man, no matter what it is, it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter where you are today, you're not outside of that. There's a phrase that the reformers use. It's a Latin phrase. You don't have to remember it. It's simul justus et peccator. Okay? Don't worry about remembering it. But what it means is simultaneously righteous and sinner. And so what they were trying to get across is that we are simultaneously, for those who are in Christ, for those who have embraced Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, they are seen by God as righteous. But they're also this side of glory. They're still sinners, and they still have that need for repentance and that need for forgiveness and that need for confessing sin. So although we are seen as righteous, that doesn't mean that we're done growing in holiness, right? So there's a theological term called progressive sanctification. Okay, sanctification being us becoming more and more like Jesus. And progressive not being anything political, but just means that it takes time, right? And so Ligon Duncan, the president of Reformed Theological Seminary, put it this way. He said, not all we experience as Christians is instantaneous. There's also a progressive unfolding aspect to our Christian life. We, by God's grace, must continue the journey of sanctification day by day. In addition to being called holy, Christians are also becoming holy. And so look, we become more like Jesus, one step at a time. It's not going to happen overnight. And so Danielle and I were 4 months into this parenting gig, right? And just all cards on the table, she's way better at it than I am. Just way better at it. So like she's kicking butt and taking names, and I'm like limping across just trying to figure out how to do this thing. And so she has been gracious and kind to me, but we are so excited for every new step. We've got these little cards that we fill out of all like month one, like what are some new things that have happened? Month two, what are some new things that happened? You take a picture and it's a really cute thing that Danielle loves and I go along with. but very excited for the day when we get to write on there that Finn took her first steps. That's gonna be an awesome day. But here's I can just imagine it now. She's going to take one step, and then maybe two. And then because her head is disproportionately oversized to the rest of her body, gravity's going to take over, and she's going to fall. Right? But I'm not going to be upset with her for falling. As her father, I'm going to have pure joy that she took her first steps. And I would submit to you that that's God's fatherly heart towards us. He's not calling us to perfection in the sense that once you become a Christian, expect to be perfect the rest of your life. That's just not going to be the case. But he wants us to grow progressively, more and more like Jesus. And so what we see is that fullness of life is found in walking with God. And walking with God includes walking in holiness and fighting sin. But here's the thing. If you hear me today, it could easily sound like I'm saying just be better. Just try harder at being good. That's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, is that you've already failed. I've failed. We've already committed sin. We, like, the very best that we can do If the standard is 18, the very best we can do is 55. But that's still not God's standard, and God's standard doesn't change. But here's the good news. The good news is that verse 5 tells us that there's no darkness in God, but here we read in John 8, verse 12, that Jesus is the light of the world. And so as John was addressing this false doctrine, this false teaching, he then corrects it by saying Jesus is 100% man. And so therefore, he can be our representative before God because he is a man. And then he's also 100% God. And so he has communion with the Father. And he tells us that as the light of the world, all who embrace that they are sinners and they turn from their sin are then brought into that light where Jesus is. And it's in the light that we have fellowship with the Father. All who repent and believe are incorporated into Jesus, who is the light. And we read that there is no darkness in God, but to have fellowship with him is in the light. So we rejoice in that today. And then 1 Peter 2:9 closes this out really well. We read, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." And so if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, I would encourage you to take a spiritual inventory and see, what's your response to sin? Are you embracing it or are you confronting it? What sins might you have that you need to confess? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something work-related. Maybe it's some idolatry, something that we've made more important than God. As a follower of Jesus, let's confess those things together and trust that confessing sin leads to a forgiveness of sin. Then maybe you're not totally convinced of this Christianity thing, right? Maybe you've heard and you're like, you know what, I'm just checking it out. I'm not entirely sure what this is all about. I would encourage you this morning to take Christ, to acknowledge your sin and your need for forgiveness, and then to confess your sin to God. Because it's only in Jesus, it's only through Christ, who is the light of the world, that we will be able to have fellowship with God, who is the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we recognize that we are sinful people. But Lord, you didn't leave us there. By your grace, you have sent a Savior to pay the penalty for us so that we may have a relationship with you. Lord, we ask that you would reveal our sin to us. We ask that you would then lead us to confession and lead us to repentance. Thank you for the promise that you have given us that all those who confess sin will be forgiven, that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, help us to share that good news. As we leave this place today, help us to share that good news with those around us. We love you. And it's in Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen.